omitted to mention next Lord's Day is the first Lord's Day of the month, so we're celebrating the Lord's Supper together, so prepare your hearts for that. While we are still in John chapter 10 and those first 10 verses, so would you turn there as we continue part 2, if you like, if you wanted a title for today, I am the door, Jesus said, part 2. And we'll read again our text, the first 10 verses of John chapter 10. Gospel of John, chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Jesus speaking, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by a different way, another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Wonderful passage of scripture, and there'll be some repetition from last week, but we're answering a different question this Lord's Day. Last Lord's Day, we introduced and made a start on this wonderful passage of John 10 and the first 10 verses. I am the door. We continue with that theme today. And Jesus, in this great third I am passage, declares himself to be the way or the door to his sheep. And we noted, in fact, that this was God's way. It wasn't a new way. This was God's way from of old. And Jesus as the door, the only true means of entrance into the kingdom of God, or the sheepfold, as is here described, these figures of speech used by Christ. And this figure of speech meant that the Messiah came by the road of the Old Testament prophecy that had been marked out from beforehand. Not only is Christ the door, the way, the truth, and the life, an entrance through him as the door for his sheep, but as we continue this passage and the rest of John chapter 10 in future weeks, we'll see that in fact he is, as God, the shepherd of his sheep, the good shepherd himself who lays down his life for the sheep. And I say, as God was shown to be the shepherd of his people in the Old Testament, and as God provided this way through the blood of his Son, the great shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, the focus of our study was also the reality of those false shepherds, you may remember, who enter in not as Christ entered, God's way, but another way, making them thieves and robbers, and those who came to steal and kill and destroy the sheep. And that's how we would recognize them, Jesus taught us. And today, our focus will be on the true shepherd of God's people and how we recognize him. Let's be clear as we continue that although there's legitimate application here for the under-shepherds and for ministers of the gospel, this passage is about the Lord Jesus Christ. We focus on Jesus Christ, God's way, God's shepherd, our shepherd, the true shepherd of God, the good shepherd and savior of his people. And in the study, also Jesus Christ's own application to us, to the sheep, is very clear. I need not even think about application. The characteristics of the true sheep also come up in this passage as Jesus teaches us about the true shepherd and how we recognize him. So how do we recognize the true shepherd? This question is what we'll primarily concern ourselves with today. And to answer this question, we have five main points to our sermon with application throughout. So you've got to be sharp. I've got a nice little list at the end for you. The application is somewhat obvious, and you need to take note of it as we go. Number one, how do we recognize the true shepherd? The true shepherd enters through the door. This is just what the scriptures are teaching us. The true shepherd enters through the door. Verse 1 and 2, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, as we saw last week, that man's a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And this clearly means something more than outward calling and commission. The priest that Jesus was actually referring to when he speaks about false shepherds could probably trace their order and direct succession to Aaron himself. But as J.C. Ryle points out, ordination is no proof whatever that a man is fit to show others the way to heaven. He may have regularly been set apart by those of authority to call ministers, and yet all his life he may never come near the door. And at last may die nothing better than a thief and a robber. And with the Pharisees exactly so, highly religious, yet they didn't enter through God's way, the door. They didn't even recognize our Savior. The true sense of the door must be sought in our Lord's own interpretation here. It is Christ himself who is the door. And so it follows, after the pattern of Christ, that the true shepherd of souls is the one who enters the ministry with a single eye to Christ, desiring to glorify Christ, doing all that he does in the strength of Christ, preaching the doctrine of Christ, walking in Christ's steps and laboring to bring men and women to Christ, to that way, to that door. And the false shepherds of souls is the one who, like the priests in Jesus' day, enter the ministry with no thought of Christ, but from worldly and false self-exalting motives, with no desire to exalt Christ and the great salvation that is in him. And the case of the Pharisees here even failed to recognize or receive Christ, whose promise and presence was clearly portrayed throughout the Old Testament scriptures. So it's not just the case of how could they have known about Christ. It was clear in the Old Testament scriptures. And so the one who preaches the word of God, what a great weight is laid on the man who enters the ministry in the 21st century, where a church is more about the preacher than about Christ. When our likes or our dislikes for the church revolves around the suited personality of the preacher and the elders. I don't really like that elder. It's about Christ. But the 21st century have exalted the man. It's no wonder that the devices of Satan play harder against the preacher these days. So many ministers of the gospel guard their tongues in the pulpit, lest they offend somebody. They seek to please the hearer rather than proclaim Christ faithfully. They become more afraid of man and their good reputation rather than the fear of God and the glory of Christ, as Christ has shown us the door. The 21st century church, it seems, if you don't like the preacher or the elders, you can just leave. Go to another. You don't like the style of the preacher or his personality, who doesn't show enough attention to you and your needs, then he's not a proper shepherd and an inadequate minister. We find so many, even in the Church of Christ, chasing after preachers, the popular word. And sometimes the preacher falls foul to these things. Brothers and sisters, what is a true Church of Christ? We need to see Jesus. We need to seek Jesus, and the preacher needs to hide behind the cross as he proclaimed the excellencies of him who went to the cross. Brothers and sisters, you and I, the church, are often to blame for the spirit that has crept into the church, because everything is about me, my likes and my dislikes, my comfort with the manner that the word is presented and the man presenting it, and the preacher so pressurized to be popular, to be liked, to please and tickle the ears of the hearers, that he may draw large crowds and that we may seem successful. I think we can say that this is even clear in Christ's ministry. This is nothing new. While the people, you know, they loved the miracles. We went through this in the Gospels. They marveled at his teaching. They loved the benefits of temporal needs being met. For the most part, what do we find? Christ was hated. Christ was hated. He was despised. Christ's words became too hard, too close to home. The very people who followed him marveled at his works and his words and his ministry, miracles. They were the same ones who 3 years later cried, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Give us Barabbas! Give us the thief and the robber!" Brothers and sisters, the church in these days is fragmented daily into thousands of pieces, split over personality differences, preferences, because as the church has become more about me and my wants and my needs, my subjective things, more about the man, the preacher, the people, than about Christ, than about Christ. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, says Paul, save in the cross of Christ my God. Sir, we would see Jesus, said the Greeks. This should be the only cry of our hearts as we enter into our worship on his day. To the preachers laid this responsibility. As we read in 1 Corinthians 9:16, for if I preach the gospel, that gives me no grounds for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe if I do not preach the gospel. Paul said, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. And again, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to him, to it. The man who makes much of Christ is a pastor after God's own heart, whom God delights to honor. The minister who makes little of Christ is the one whom God regards as an impostor, as the one who's climbed into his office not by the door, but by some other way. And so it was with the Jews and the leaders of the temple and the synagogues of Jesus' time. There was no door in their ministry. They did not teach correctly about the Messiah. And so the lost sheep of the house of Israel did not recognize him when he came. The Pharisees rejected Christ himself when he came. So the sad situation in churches throughout the world today. Thousands of ordained men know nothing of Christ except perhaps by name. They've not entered the door themselves, and so they are unable to show it to others. May God preserve our assembly by the preaching of his faithful word. If we want to know the value of a man's ministry, then we must ask, where is the Lamb? Where is the door? Does he exalt Christ and give him his rightful place? How do we recognize a true shepherd? The only true shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, they pattern their ministry after the Lord Jesus Christ's example. Christ's doctrine and his teaching was from the Father. That was clear in this gospel. All the works that he did were not his own, but were the works of his Father. All that he did was for and in the name of his Father. And when his life's work on earth was done, fulfilled and completed, and everything was given to him, all things to Christ. And so this is how we recognize the true, faithful earthly shepherd. He points to Christ, for in him and through him and to him are all things. Christ in his own words. You may remember at the end of his ministry in John 17:5, when it's all done, just before going to the cross, what does he say? "And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in you before the world existed." A true shepherd follows the pattern of the good shepherd in his words, in his works, in his compassion, in his love for the sheep, and in glorifying the name of the good shepherd, of which the under shepherd is also just a sheep. But we observe in the second place, the true shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. The true shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep know him. Verse 3 of our text, talking of the true shepherd, "To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." And this verse and the ones following show us the character of the true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, the gatekeeper, who by the work of the Spirit not only recognizes him, but by his eternal counsel and word appointed the shepherd, as we noted last week. The triune God has made a way and opened the door. And just as an earthly gatekeeper, and we saw the picture of the early Eastern shepherds, and how that the shepherds recognized them, the sheep recognized the shepherd, and the gatekeeper recognizes the shepherd as he comes, even by his way of approach and as he walks towards the gatekeeper who opens the door. He knows this is the friend of sheep. He's not an enemy. Not only the gatekeeper, but his own sheep recognize him by his voice as he comes and he calls them out by name. Not only that, just to be clear, he calls them each by name. And you may have had the fortune of having a horse, and you definitely give your horse a name. We all have pets, and maybe you had a guinea pig, and you gave him a name, and rabbits and dogs and cats. Our cat's name is Storm. She doesn't even know that. She doesn't respond to it. But who names sheep? Who names sheep? What farmer has a name for each sheep? I mean, there are thousands of them. They're pretty much the same. Who does that? The true shepherd. The good shepherd. Listen to Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2. You can just listen. You may jot that down. "But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you pass through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame will not consume you." And in 2 Timothy 2:19, we have something similar. "But God's foundation stands bearing the seal." What is the seal? "The Lord knows those that are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity." And nobody would question that the Lord knows that those are his. He knows each one of us that are his true sheep by name. No matter how small, insignificant you feel you are, he knows you by name. But we need to know, too, that the true sheep is the one who hears the good shepherd's voice, responds to it, he follows it, and he obeys his voice that he recognizes right away. And this, brothers and sisters, is the mark of every true believer. He hears the voice of Christ, not generally as his word is proclaimed. And you may say, "Yes, I've heard the voice of Christ. The preacher preaches and he's preaching Christ and I hear them," but specifically. And he is always listening for that voice. The believer's always responding to that voice, not because he's better than other people or is resolved to listen more carefully than others, but ultimately because Christ's sheep have been given ears to hear. The effective call comes to none but to the sheep. No one else will hear. As Proverbs 21 verse 12 says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Let's consider in the Gospels some examples that the Lord Jesus Christ, that we see here in the Scriptures of those who heard the voice of the shepherd. And the first is Matthew the tax collector. In Matthew 9 and verse 9, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at a tax booth, and he said to him just these words, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. How about Zacchaeus? The most unusual people hear the voice of Christ. Sometimes the most crooked people you can find, like tax collectors in the first century. In Luke 19, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, who climbed into a tree because he was a little man, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and came and received him joyfully. Next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, the third one. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me, follow me." And we looked at that passage early in our study of John. And in John chapter 11, we have a more striking example of the shepherd's voice heard even by the dead. For he raises the dead and he gives them ears, as when the gospel comes to us, the dead and the blind and the deaf. Listen to John 11 and 43. When he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." And there's one other example I'd like to give you in Jesus, a touching example of Jesus at the tomb, of a sheep knowing his voice. With Mary Magdalene in John 20, we read there, having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to a woman, "Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." That's all he said, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. The effective call of the gospel goes in a peculiar, a special way, effectively to his sheep. Those whom the Father gave to him in all eternity as a gift. Those for whom Christ laid down his life, and those he knows them each by name. And they are precious to him. Romans 8:28 makes this clear too. And we know that for all those who love God, God works all things together for their good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. The true shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. We observe in the third place, the true shepherd cares for and nourishes his sheep. The true shepherd cares for and nourishes his sheep. Verse 4 and 5 of our text. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And the true shepherd, the good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, who himself is the door for the sheep, that they may safely be led out and return, cares for his flock. You remember last week referred to the passage in Ezekiel where the Lord, through the prophet, brings a word against those faithless shepherds of Israel, and then neglecting their duties in caring for the sheep. who as a result had wandered off and was scattered without a shepherd. Well, that passage continues, Ezekiel 34, and shows us that God himself will be their shepherd, and he will not abandon his sheep that have been the victims of selfish, bad shepherds. And of course, this is fulfilled perfectly in our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen from verse 11 of that same passage in Ezekiel 34. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered in the days of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements of the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land. There they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, says the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost. I will bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, is not just one by name only, as those faithless shepherds of Israel, as the false shepherds at the time of Christ. He is by nature a true shepherd who only does good for his sheep, who leads them to green pastures, who provides them by rest, by quiet waters, who restores the soul of a wandering sheep, who binds up the broken and the damaged sheep, who chastises and disciplines with his rod and his staff the stubborn and sinful and wandering sheep. A shepherd who even in the valley of the shadow of death, through which we must all pass, will remain with his sheep. I am the good shepherd. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Brothers and sisters, we are all at different places in our lives. We have times of joy and times of sorrow, times of failing and times of wandering, times of sin, times of despair, times of health and times of grave illness, even at death's door. The church in the last days in turmoil, in tribulation, under attack from the world, the flesh and the devil. The only constant is our Savior, our Shepherd. The only unchanging, faithful one is the Shepherd who laid down his very life for his sheep, took it up again that they may be raised with him. Why would you not trust in such a Shepherd? No matter what your station in life, no matter what you face in your marriage, in your job, in your temptations, the evil that you've fallen into, he speaks and his voice is clear. The true sheep hear his voice and they follow. Take courage, sheep of Christ. What you face is not a surprise. Everything has been designed for you by your name. Your name, for he knows you. Listen to his voice by his Spirit in the Word, speaking in your heart. Listen, hear, obey, and follow him. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. True shepherd cares for, nourishes his sheep. So in the fourth place, Christ the Good Shepherd is the door for his sheep. Christ the Good Shepherd is the door for his sheep. And we repeat it because our passage repeats it. Look at verse 7 to 10. So Jesus said again to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. Sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Go in and out and find pasture. Who's the thief and the robber? Who's the false teacher who enters by the sheep gold of God in some other way? It is all who would assert that there is another way into the kingdom of God, other than the door which our Savior makes available to us. It is everyone who asserts that we must enter through the door, but there are some other conditions that you have to meet. There are other things that go hand in hand with coming through the door and coming to Christ. The thief and the robber who enter over the wall will himself does not come through the door, will always suppose that the door is not the only way, that there are many roads that lead to God. This is not what the Bible teaches. And any such have declared themselves thieves and robbers. Christ declares them thieves and robbers. Rather, we have here a true gem in the Word of God, for it points to the only way. It points to the blood of the cross. It points to the way and the truth and the life. Friends, don't be deceived today. There is no other way but the way of the cross. There is only one door, and that is Jesus Christ. Verse 9 of our text, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And don't think that you are just a little bit broken or distorted or a little lost, needing to get your life on track. To get back into favor with God requires a little tension to my morals, good works, and some inward reforms. My friends, by nature, we are all alienated from God, separated from Him. Sin isn't just a little obstacle. Our sin is like a great, big, impenetrable wall between us and God. It's not something that can be broken down. It's not a mere obstacle that has to be negotiated and crossed. In fact, our sense of guilt makes the best men afraid of Him, and they run from Him. The sense of His holiness keeps us distant from God. We were born with a heart of enmity against God, and we become more and more alienated from Him by practice the longer we live. How then can I draw near to God? How can I be justified? How can a sinner like me be reconciled to my Maker? These are the questions that we ought to be asking. And right here in our text, the Lord Jesus gives us answers to these life and death questions by His sacrifice on the cross. Jesus has opened a way through that great barrier, provided a pardon and a peace for sinners. He has suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. 1 Peter 1:3 and 18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the Spirit. He made a way open into the holiest through His blood, by which we may draw near to God with boldness and approach without fear. And now He can save to the utmost all who come to God by Him. In the highest and the loftiest sense, He is the door. No man can come to the Father but by Him. I say to you today, friends, if you're listening or streaming, if you're sitting here, use this door. Do not merely stand outside looking in. It is a door free and open to the chief of sinners. Christ's promise is, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. There is nothing else that you must do but believe on Him. And it is a door within which we will find a full and constant supply for every need of our souls. we will find that we can go out and come in, enjoy liberty and peace. And a day will come, and Pastor Sam has been talking about that great day, a day that will come as surely as you were born, as surely as Christ came the first time, that Christ will come again with the clouds. And then many will desire to enter that door. For then all will be clear, but that door will be shut forever. It will be too late. It will forever be too late. Work out your own salvation now. Come to the door. This is God's way. This is Christ's way. I am the door. Any who enter by me will be saved. Don't stand hesitating between opinions. 2,000 years this door's been open, and you are free to come, to believe on him, to receive him, to cast yourself upon him, and you will find that he will receive you. He will welcome you. He will pardon you. But if you do not come, you will die in your sin, as has been taught in this gospel over and over again. Friends, I urge you, I beseech you, for Christ's sake, come and believe on him. Come through this door, the only door, the one who secured salvation for his people will accept you. He will pardon you. He will give you eternal life. It is that simple. If anyone hears me, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Christ is a door for his sheep in two ways. He is the door for entrance into his sheepfold, and he is the door for their coming and going. Which brings us to our fifth and our final point, very briefly, number 5. The true shepherd gives abundant life to his sheep. The true shepherd gives abundant life to his sheep. John 10 and verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. This, my friends, brothers and sisters, is that one object for which Christ came into the world. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. This not only for us today, but the hope of all Israel. And even those Old Testament saints, you may think, but what about them? Christ came, notice, for all of them, for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and all true Israel, who then only saw in types and shadows, but believe God. And now it has been fully realized. Those who hoped and believed God too are justified, as if they are alive and declaring with Simeon in the temple, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, as he waited, for my eyes have seen your salvation. By Moses came laws and rules, ordinances and ceremonies. By Christ came grace and truth and eternal life. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Brothers and sisters, come. Draw near to the shepherd of your souls. Draw near to the one who holds you in the palm of his hand, the one who knows each one of us by name, the one who died for you and raised you to newness of life with him. Hear his voice today. Follow him. Repent of your wayward paths and your wanderings and your doubts and all your unbelief. He restores my soul. Why would you face life without his help and his protection and his guidance? Unbeliever, today you've seen again the good shepherd, the true shepherd, who he is, what he has done. Why will you not come? Why will you die today? Obey the gospel. Ask God to give you ears that you might hear and live. Here is life, and life more abundantly. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, will go out, and will find pasture. I close today's morning with the last words of Psalm 23, which describe the Lord as our shepherd. This is what awaits his sheep, those who have come, those who have heard him, those who have believed on him. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray together. Mighty God, our Heavenly Father, we bow in awe before you because of your great love, because of your Son, because you are the great shepherd of your people. Lord, how we thank you that you have given us ears to hear, you have given us eyes to see our Savior, our shepherd, that we might hear his voice, that we might enter through the door, which is Christ, and have eternal life. Lord, I pray this day for those who have not come to you, for those who think by their works, that by self-examination and by self-correction they can come to you. Oh, Lord, may they see the good shepherd there, died on the cross for them, and may they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, for those who have not come, we pray by your Spirit, draw them to Christ. Make them see our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of his sheep. Lord, make us good sheep. Make us better sheep. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see, hearts to perceive, that we may not just love your law and love your word and love our Savior, but that we would follow him and obey him and live for him. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.